Is everybody stoked that it's Christmas time? I mean, is that just the best time of the year or what? That's right. I love it. Christmas is a great holiday. It's full of nostalgia and traditions. Every family might have their own kinds of traditions, but there are a lot of traditions that are similar. We love Christmas carols, though we don't see many carolers going from door to door anymore. But we love candy canes. I know I love a good candy cane. Colorful decorations, especially as you're driving around at night and you're seeing all these houses lit up with Christmas lights. Isn't that awesome? I love seeing that. Cranberry sauce. Anybody here like cranberry sauce? I can't stand cranberry sauce. But that's okay if you do. There's room in heaven even for you. Christmas trees and nativity scenes. These are the things that come along with Christmas. But that reminds me of one nativity scene situation. It was the day after Christmas last year, and Pastor Mike, a pastor of a certain church, went to his church to start putting away the Christmas decorations. They had a big nativity scene, almost life-size, outside on the front lawn of the church. Well, as he approached the almost life-size figurines there, he noticed that the baby Jesus was missing from the manger. Well, assuming that it was the work of local vandals, Pastor Mike turned towards the church to call the police. As he was about to do so, he saw little Jimmy with a red wagon. And in the red wagon was the figure, the little infant Jesus that had been taken from this nativity scene. Pastor Mike walked up to little Jimmy and said, "Well, Jimmy, what are you doing with baby Jesus?" Jimmy replied, "I got him from the church." "And why did you take him?" Pastor Mike asked. Well, with a sheepish smile, Jimmy said, "Well, about a week before Christmas, I prayed to little Lord Jesus. I told him that if he would bring me a red wagon for Christmas, I would give him a ride around the block in it." So, there he was. Thankfully, Pastor Mike found the missing figure of the little baby Jesus. But what if the real Jesus was missing from the manger scene? What if Jesus had really never been born? Well, I'd like to ask three questions, and we've already looked at those questions by way of the videos that we showed. But the first question that we're going to ask in the arena of what if Jesus had never been born is, what would you be like if Jesus had never been born? The second question we're going to ask is, what would the world be like if Jesus had never been born? And then finally, we'll look at the question, what would death be like if Jesus had never been born? Well, moving into that first question, we already saw some answers given by those that we interviewed down on the streets. Some answers I thought were really good answers. Some answers were not so good. Some of them were just really weird. One guy said he would be what, Mad Max? Very interesting answer. But what would you be like? What would I be like if Jesus had never been born? And to begin to answer this question, we only need to look as far back as our life prior to a relationship with Jesus. What were you like? What was I like? Were you depressed? Disillusioned? Were you immoral or insensitive? Were you prideful and puffed up? Paul confesses what he and others like him were like prior to a relationship with Jesus. You can read along on the screen with me at Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." So this is how Paul describes himself and others that he knew, with these words, the first one being foolish. This word foolish means unwise. And even the smartest people in this world, even the smartest people on the planet, can still be unwise. To be book smart, you just have to go memorize a bunch of books. To be wise, That takes something different altogether. The Bible says that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And so even the smartest people in this world can be foolish by rejecting Jesus Christ. And so foolishness. The second one is disobedience. This means to be not compliant with parents or not compliant with your boss or, worst of all, not compliant with God's will. But then what about the word deceived? Deceived means to be led away into error and sin. The next phrase there is serving various lusts and pleasures, which basically means being a slave to one's cravings or being a hedonist. The next thing that Paul says is living in malice and envy. This means that they were living with a desire to injure others, or the idea of being driven by greed and jealousy. And then finally, Paul says hateful and hating one another. This is living contrary to the commandment that Jesus gave us to love one another. Hateful and hating one another. Well, some or all of this list describes what our lives are like without Jesus Christ. Most people try to be good. Most people try to do the right thing, but so many of us are doing the right thing for the wrong reasons prior to knowing Christ. We're doing the right things, but it's to earn points with God or to look good in front of others. And so there's self-centered reasons why we even try to do the right things prior to a relationship with Christ. This is how we were prior to a relationship with Jesus. Well, thankfully, Jesus saved us and is in the process of changing our lives. If you've trusted in Him, if you've believed in Him for salvation, if you've trusted in Him to forgive you of your sins, then He's in the process of changing all of that. He's made you a new creation, and now He wants to continue to practically help you walk that out. Thankfully, Jesus came and offered us salvation and is changing our lives, those who have trusted in Him. But note again in Titus chapter 3, a very important word, the word were, as in past tense. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So thankfully, Jesus sets us free from living a foolish, disobedient, deceived life where we serve our lusts and pleasures maliciously and envious, hating the people around us. But again, we're not asking the question, what are we like because Jesus was born? But what would we be like? What would you be like? What would I be like if Jesus had never been born? You see, if Jesus had never been born, we would still be foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That would be the description of our lives to some degree if Jesus had never been born. Well, in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey discovers that his charitable deeds had made an impact on the whole town where he lived. This concept goes both ways. Because as he wished that he would never been born, the helpful angel Clarence comes along and grants him his wish, and George gets to see what the town would be like if he had never been born. The town was different, to say the least. Without the influence of George Bailey, businessmen became drunkards, local stores became brothels. That the town was completely different because the one man, George Bailey, had never existed. Well, when he saw this, he wanted to go back to his life. He wanted to go back to being the influencer that he had in this town, which made the town such a great place to be. With this in mind, we ask the next question then. What would the world be like if Jesus had never been born? Because where George Bailey had influence in this one town, Jesus Christ has had influence on the whole world. And what would the world be like if Jesus had never been born? Well, consider this. If you and if I are still foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, if that describes you and I, and it describes everyone else in this world, if it describes your neighbors, if it describes your family, what kind of world would we have? What kind of world would this be if this described each person in the world? Well, consider this. Jesus was a champion of human rights. Jesus taught that we should love one another. And he demonstrated this love, and he demonstrated that this love would overcome all of those problems that we've listed. One of the social injustices that Jesus spoke out against was gender discrimination. Gender discrimination. Now, during the first century and before, women were considered inferior to men. And Jesus championed the rights of women. He publicly ministered to women. It was unheard of in his time. He befriended women, spoke to them in public. Unheard of in his time. He didn't insult women's intelligence. And when the woman who was caught in the act of adultery was brought before him, and they were testing him to see how they were going to punish, how he would punish this woman, he turned the finger on the men and said, "Aren't you also guilty of sins just as heinous?" Jesus championed the rights of women, the equality of women. He taught that men and women were equal partners in marriage. Now, he also taught that both the man and the woman have different roles in the marriage, but that they were partners, that the two became one flesh. He didn't say that the man would become 60% of the marriage and the woman would become 40% of the marriage. He taught that the two became one. Jesus championed the rights of women. Gender discrimination, well, Jesus dealt with it, and his followers have dealt with it since then. Well, Jesus also taught and demonstrated that love should overcome racial discrimination. The Jews of Jesus' time period saw themselves as superior to all other races. They especially hated the Romans because the Romans were occupying Israel at that point in time. They also hated the Samaritans, these half-breed Jews that lived in the area. And Jesus, when he showed love to a centurion, a Roman, by healing his child, he showed us that we should love even our enemies, even an occupying force. We should love them. Jesus' most famous teaching against racism is the story of the Good Samaritan, where he lifted up the Good Samaritan, this half-breed, half-Jew and half-pagan, half-Gentile. And he elevated this Good Samaritan above the priests and the Levites and said, no, that Samaritan that did the right stuff, that showed love to the one who had been beaten up and robbed, that Good Samaritan was doing the right thing in the eyes of God rather than the priest and the Levite who were on their way to the temple to do their religious duties. And so Jesus championed the rights of all the various races and showed that there's an equalness, that racial discrimination is wrong. Well, another social barrier that Jesus taught against was class discrimination. Jesus spoke often about the problems with a love for money. He said that the love for money could be a root of all kinds of evil. Now, Jesus never taught that it was wrong to be rich, but it was wrong to have a love for money and to see yourself, if you're rich, to see yourself as better than those who might be poor. Not to be rich, not to be poor, to be rich, to be poor. This is not the issue. But do you love? If you're rich, do you love the poor? If you're poor, do you love the rich? That's the issue. Jesus also spoke against age discrimination. He taught that children should not be treated poorly just because of their age. He wanted children to come unto him. Even taught us that if we're going to come to him, that we have to come to him with faith like a child. And so Jesus was the champion of children. Jesus was a revolutionary teacher, speaking against all forms of discrimination. And if Jesus had never been born, now consider this, if Jesus had never been born, then Christianity would have never been formed. And if Christianity would have never been formed, then Christianity would have never continued to champion those same ideas that Jesus came and spoke about. While it's true that we still struggle with racism and chauvinism, and we still struggle with treating kids correctly, and we still struggle with a lot of these social issues, but Jesus exposed these social problems and taught that God's love will overcome these problems. His followers then turned around and worked very hard, and we still continue to work very hard to bring an end to these social injustices. As a matter of fact, Jesus' teachings on these social issues becomes the basis for our own Declaration of Independence. Here's what one part of it says. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are the very teachings of Jesus, right there in our Declaration of Independence. If Jesus had never been born, there would be no Christianity to struggle against these social injustices. And so the world would be a horrible place to live in. There is yet one more issue that impacts every life, and that's the question of what happens to us when we die. What would death be like if Jesus had never been born? And I'm not asking, what would dying be like? We all have our time. There is going to be a time that this body dies, whether it be in this way or that way. And maybe Christmas time isn't the time that you want to think about dying. And I'm sorry if that bums you out tonight. But it's a question that must be asked. What would death be like if Jesus had never been born? We often refer to death in gentler terms as passing away. We'll see Paul call it sleeping later on. Passing away, but where to? You're passing somewhere, but from here to where? Well, last Tuesday, Barbara Walters had a special on television. Now, this sounds like the beginning of a joke, but a priest, a minister, and a rabbi sit down with an interview with Barbara Walters. There's no punchline. This is a reality. This really happened. Barbara Walters interviewed a priest, a minister, a rabbi, an imam, the Dalai Lama, an atheist, all of whom had contradictory things to say about heaven. The show was called Heaven. Where is it? How do we get there? The title should have really been this. Heaven. If you think you're confused now, wait till you watch this show. The problem with the program is that there really was no definitive answer. They never really came to any conclusion. They just basically said, here's all these different beliefs. Good day. Give me an answer, man. I want to know, heaven, where is it? How do I get there? Well, the problem with all the people that Barbara interviewed is that none of them were experts. Here's what I mean by the word expert. Experience is one of the elements needed to turn someone into an expert. I love the guy in the video with the Santa Claus hat on. He said, I don't know, I haven't died yet. Ha ha ha. And he laughed. He's right. He is not an expert on what happens to us when we die. Experience is an element needed to make an expert. And therefore, to experience death, well, how could you come back and talk about it? I'm not talking about a near-death experience where someone's heart stops for a few moments on an operating table and then they come back and they saw the light. And that's interesting and worth study. But I'm talking about someone who actually has experienced death, gone and found out from God what's needed to get into heaven, and then came back and said, okay, here's what God's wanting from us. Here's the right God. Here's His teachings. Here's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the kind of expert I want to hear from when I talk to somebody about what happens after we die. The only person who fits this description is Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is the only expert regarding the question about heaven, where is it, and how do we get there? Jesus is the expert. And what if Jesus had never been born? Well, if Jesus had never been born, the question about heaven would still be a question. The only answers that we have are the opinions of men and women who think that they're experts, but they're really not. If Jesus had never been born, death would be the ultimate time of sorrow and fear. If Jesus had never been born, we would have no expert to appeal to discover where is heaven and how do we get there. And so while I might not be an expert in this, in the fact that I haven't experienced death, I know the one who is the expert. And so if I bring you his teachings, if I come and tell you what the expert said, then mark my words. It's the correct teaching. Paul himself had a perfect understanding of Jesus' teaching, especially on the afterlife. And Paul did not want us to be ignorant regarding death. Look at the text on the screen with me. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning there in verse 13, he says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, anytime Paul writes that, stop and take notes. He's basically saying that, hey, most of us are ignorant on this issue, but I don't want you to be. So don't be ignorant on this subject. "Brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or passed away or have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Paul is saying that those that believe in Jesus, those whom trust in Jesus, even if they have already fallen asleep or passed away or died, Jesus will bring back with him when he returns. What does Paul say that we should believe in then? Well, all the essential doctrines of Christianity are right here. First, that Jesus was born. If we look further into Paul's teachings and other biblical writers, that Jesus was born of a virgin. And that's what we celebrate here at Christmas time. Also, that he died. We understand that he died upon a cross. And that he rose again. He came back from the dead. And that he's going to come back. He's going to return. Now, if he rose again from death, then he becomes the expert on the afterlife. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "I'm God in the flesh." He says, if you do not believe that I am, using the very name of God, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That's Jesus' teaching. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to prove this to you because I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. I'm going to come back and prove to you that I am. And if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus proved that he is who he claimed to be by rising from the dead. And he proved that he is the expert on where heaven is and how we get there. And Paul, elaborating on the teachings of Christ, says that those who believe in him, that he was born, that he died, and that he rose again, that those that trust in Jesus to forgive their sins will return with him when he comes back. Well, think about this. Christmas is that time of year that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But if Jesus had never died on the cross, if Jesus had never paid for our sins, if Jesus had not risen from the grave, his birth would be pointless, and so would Christmas. If Jesus had just been born and that's it, the whole church is just wasting their time. We'd have better things to do on Sunday or even on this Saturday evening. if Jesus had just been born but he hadn't lived a sinless life, if Jesus would have just been born but did not die on the cross for our sins, if Jesus would have just been born but not stayed 3 days dead in the ground and then risen, if Jesus had not proven that he is the expert on where heaven is and how we get there, then Christianity is a waste of time. Morality is a waste of time. Attempting to be good people, it's just a waste of time. But because Jesus was born, and because he lived a sinless life, and because he died for our sins and rose from the grave, proving that he is our Savior, we can rejoice. We can rejoice because no matter how we were before Jesus came into our lives, no matter how we were, he can make us a new creation because he promised that he could. And so by putting faith and trust in him, by entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ, our sins are then forgiven and he changes our lives. And so the way we were, we don't have to live like that any longer. We can celebrate because the world becomes a better place. Because Jesus was born. Because Jesus lived a sinless life. Because he died on a cross for our sins and rose from the grave. He makes us better people and therefore the world becomes a better place. But ultimately we need not fear death because Jesus was born. But not just because he was born, but because he lived a sinless life. Because he died on the cross for our sins. And because he rose from the grave, proving that his teachings are the right ones regarding the afterlife. And so we can celebrate the true meaning of Christmas here this evening. Jesus, the Savior, born a child, the child of Mary, laid in the manger, ready to grow up, to become the man God, who would die for our sins. Jesus, we can celebrate Jesus. We can celebrate the birth of Jesus tonight. Jesus, who is our King. Our King who died for us. Let's pray.